Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures rebound after yesterday's massive sell-off.
Traders bet the Fed could turn even more hawkish at this week's policy meeting.
Oil prices stay high as President Biden prepares to visit Saudi Arabia.
And Elon Musk addresses Twitter staffers for the first time since his takeover bid.
New York State expands protections for people seeking abortions, plus the Republican governor candidates debate ahead of the New York State primary. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Warriors beat the Celtics. They lead the NBA Finals 3-2. The Mets and Yankees have home games tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com.
And futures are bouncing back on this Tuesday morning. It's 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 16 points, Dow futures up 98, NASDAQ futures higher by 80 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 14 30 seconds, the yield 3.30%, yield on the 2-year 3.29%. NYMEX crude trading at $121.76 a barrel, John.
Yeah, the S&P 500 finished yesterday's trading more than 20% below its last record close, entering a bear market and ending a 2-year bull run. Defiance ETF's Chief Investment Officer Sylvia Jablonski tells us she expects more uncertainty moving forward.
Inflation has been hot for quite some time. It's going to remain hot for quite some time. So until that eases up, we're probably going to have this volatility with us.
Chief Defiance ETF CIO Sylvia Jablonski says inflation headwinds have gotten worse since Friday's CPI reading.
Well, this quarter, John, is set to deliver the biggest combined loss for global bonds and stocks on record. The question for investors now is whether the Federal Reserve and other central banks tip their economies into recession to curb inflation. Central banks get further insight on prices today with the latest reading on May producer prices. That data is due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
And also today, the Fed begins its 2-day policy meeting, and officials may consider a more hawkish interest rate increase than originally planned. Bloomberg's Michael McKee gives us a preview.
Surprisingly strong pickups in consumer prices and inflation expectations now look likely to spur the biggest interest rate increase since 1994. Fed officials had coalesced around a 50 basis point hike going into their 2-day meeting, which begins this morning. But a big rise in the May consumer price index, coupled with two surveys showing higher inflation becoming embedded in consumer expectations, pushed investors to increase bets on a 75 basis point increase. Those bets hardened following media reports Monday the central bankers would consider the larger move. Economists at major Wall Street firms were quick to change their calls. Goldman, Nomura, and J.P. Morgan Chase joined Barclays and Jefferies in forecasting a 3/4 point move. The Fed decision will be announced at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Wednesday. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Mike. And join us for live coverage of that Fed decision on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance that kicks off tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, ahead of that, John, some big U.S. banks are signaling more concern for the economy. Investor fears of stagflation are at their highest since the 2008 financial crisis, while global growth optimism has sunk to a record low. That's according to Bank of America's monthly fund manager survey. Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman says he sees the risk of U.S. recession at about 50%.
We're unlikely at this stage to go into a deep or long recession. It's possible we go into recession, obviously. Probably 50-50 odds now. But that's okay.
Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman spoke yesterday at the Morgan Stanley U.S. Financials, Payments, and CRE conference.
And overseas stocks in Europe treading water, not bouncing back from yesterday's losses. The Stocks Europe 600 index right now is down 4 points. Overnight in Asia, equities followed U.S. stocks lower. Now Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with the latest from Singapore. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. The MSCI Asia Pacific index fell more than 1.5% intraday, with bourses from Japan to China and Hong Kong all in the red. said Australia underperformed as that market played catch-up following a public holiday Monday. The ASX 200 was down more than 5% during the day's trade, its worst session in more than 2 years. Short-dated bonds across the region slumped, while the Bank of Japan boosted bond purchase operations to keep yields in check. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Juliet, it has been a wild ride for risk assets. Just look at crypto. Bitcoin fell 15% yesterday. Perhaps no sector seen a sell-off sharper than digital currencies. Right now, Bitcoin's trading at about $22,200.
And oil trading near $122 a barrel as investors weigh a tight supply outlook. It comes as the White House plans for President Biden to visit Saudi Arabia next month. The administration won't press the kingdom to increase production, it says. But S&P Global Vice Chair Dan Yergin says oil will be on the agenda.
It's hard to believe that he would be going to Saudi Arabia if it wasn't for oil.
Yeah.
I think if he does come, they'll start to put more oil into the market. They've done a little bit more. The thing is that there isn't much more oil in Saudi Arabia and the UAE to really significantly change the market.
S&P Vice Chair Dan Yergin speaking to David Weston on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch that program noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and TV.
All right, let's turn to corporate news now, John, and talk about Twitter. Elon Musk is set to address staff at the social media company directly this week. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with what we know about that so far. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Bloomberg sources say this will be the first time Elon Musk addresses Twitter employees since agreeing to buy the company for $44 billion. And Musk will take questions at the Thursday morning virtual meeting. Now, the company has been in a chaotic state since the deal was announced back in April, and many employees are not happy with Musk. He's been critical of the company and questions the amount of spam accounts. Meantime, Twitter's CEO has announced a series of cost-cutting measures since the deal came together. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now 72 points higher. That's up 0.2%. The S&P futures up 12. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures right now, after yesterday's massive sell-off, 63 points higher. As we look at yields right now, the 10-year 331, that is down 4 basis points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York has expanded legal protections for people seeking and providing abortions in the state under legislation signed by Governor Kathy Hochul. The Democratic governor pushed for the laws in anticipation of the U.S. Supreme Court potentially overruling its 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which established a constitutional right to abortion.
Must the hard-fought battles for my mother's generation, my generation, my 30-year-old daughter's generation, have to be inherited by my new granddaughter's generation as well? Well, apparently so.
Governor Hochul says one new law protects abortion providers from arrest, extradition, and legal proceedings in other states by forbidding New York State from cooperating in most scenarios. Four Republican candidates for New York governor faced off last night in their first televised debate, with 2 weeks to go before the state's primary election. Some of the sharpest exchanges of the night came between U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin and businessman Harry Wilson, who has said he did not vote for Donald Trump in 2020. Zeldin repeatedly assailed Wilson as a never-Trumper and a Republican in name only.
I believe that we're battling for the heart and soul of our country. And it's not just the Democrats, but it's the rhinos like Harry Wilson who are out there making sure that we have this moment in time with one-party Democratic rule in Washington, D.C.
Wilson responded.
Now, Mr. Zeldin is going to go on to a series of attacks. You saw him even before I had a chance to speak, just like he started attacking me before I ran my campaign. It's because he's scared, because he's a broken candidate.
Wilson claimed that in January, Zeldin had asked him to be his running mate. The Republican field aired on CBS2 also included former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino and Andrew Giuliani, the son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Attorney General Merrick Garland confirms he is keeping an eye on all of the House committee's hearings on the January 6th Capitol riot. However, Garland is choosing not to elaborate on the current status of a possible investigation against Donald Trump.
The Justice Department's long-standing position is that we don't comment
don't comment on ongoing investigations.
During a second day of hearings, former Attorney General William Barr said Trump seemed detached from reality that he had lost the election. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Yeah, it's now 6:10 on Wall Street. That is time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Golden State Warriors can win the NBA championship Thursday in Boston. If they lose, they'll have another chance with a Game 7 Sunday in San Francisco, where last night the Warriors started the fourth quarter with a 10-0 run, and they won Game 5 by 10, 104-94. They lead the series 3-2. All five games in the series have been won by at least 10 points. Andrew Wiggins led Golden State 26 points. Klay Thompson had 21. Steph Curry, who scored 43 points in Game 4, did not make a single three-pointer. That had not happened since November of 2018, 233 games ago. Mets back home from the road trip. They'll play Milwaukee, who just ended an 8-game losing streak. The Yankees, winners of 11 of the last 12, host Tampa Bay. It's Garrett Cole versus the ex-Yank Corey Kluber. Cole comes off the outing where he gave up five home runs. Josh Donaldson tonight will serve the one-game suspension he got for comments made to the White Sox Tim Anderson. Donaldson's appeal was denied. U.S. Open tees off Thursday. Brookline, Mass. All eyes yesterday on Phil Mickelson, asked repeatedly about his decision to leave the PGA Tour for the new Saudi-backed LIV Tour, and asked about doing that when most of the 9/11 terrorists were from Saudi Arabia.
I would say to everyone that has lost loved ones, lost friends in 9/11, that I have deep, deep empathy for them. I can't emphasize that enough.
While those that have joined the LIV Tour have been suspended by the PGA, the USGA runs the Open, is allowing them to play. Mickelson's never won the Open. He's finished second six times. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now in the green, the Dow futures up 54 points, S&P futures up 11, the NASDAQ futures up 61 points. This is Daybreak. And Daybreak being brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at hofstra.edu/gograd.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are higher, but they're pulling back on some of their gains this morning, and a rebound in European stocks is proving short-lived, suggesting markets might not be out of the woods just yet after a rout driven by expectations of sharper Federal Reserve interest rate hikes to fight inflation. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures up 25, NASDAQ futures higher by 46 points. Germany's DAX is now down 0.8%. The CAC in Paris lower by 1.4%. The 10-year Treasury is up 14 32nds, the yield 3.30%. 2-year just behind at 3.29. NYMEX crude is up 0.5%, up 64 cents at $121.57 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $6.80 at $18.24.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.0438 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2112. The yen, 134.17. Quick check of Bitcoin, $22,300. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. Donald Trump's closest campaign advisors were dismantling his false claims of 2020 election fraud ahead of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. During yesterday's House hearing, former Attorney General William Barr said the defeated president seemed detached from reality. China has released a long-detained Bloomberg News employee. Hayes Fan has been released on bail after more than a year in detention. She was held on suspicion of national security law violations. The case remains under investigation while Fan is on bail pending trial. In Game 5 of the NBA Finals, the Celtics are on the brink of elimination. Boston lost to the Warriors 104-94. In baseball, the Nationals and Orioles lost. The Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It is coming up on 6:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, the rout yesterday erased $1.3 trillion in market capitalization from stocks. And this quarter also set to deliver the biggest combined loss for global bonds and stocks on record in data going back to 1990. And with that in mind, let's get you set up for the trading day ahead with Brian Levitt, global market strategist at Invesco. Did you see signs of capitulation yesterday?
Yeah, we're starting to see signs of capitulation, which is, of course, not what you want to see, but better news as you're moving through a downturn. Now, we're probably not all the way there. Usually you see the volatility index, the VIX, up around 40. Usually see the number of stocks trading above their 200-day moving average down, you know, probably to around 10%. We're still in the 20s. So we're not all the way there, but certainly moving closer as, you know, investors become ever more fearful about rising interest rates amid all this inflation.
What is the expectation for you from the Federal Reserve?
My expectation was 50 basis points. So you're starting to see some rumblings that 75 could be in the offing. So we'll see. But I the more there's smoke around 75 basis points, I suspect that we may be heading there. It could be the point that, you know, this is starting to be leaked out to prepare the markets for it. You know, I think a lot of investors are saying, let's get on with it. Now, you know, we know the rate hikes are coming. Let's front load them. Let's get on with it. We'll see how the markets respond to it. But clearly, if you look at where the 2-year rate is, it is priced in a substantial amount of tightening already.
Is elevated inflation here to stay in some respects?
I would say that inflation is going, the rate of change in inflation is going to come down. We're already starting to see it a bit in goods prices. What investors need to grapple with is whether we have a higher sustained environment than we had in the prior cycle. Now, that of course doesn't mean 8% inflation, but you know, does it settle in somewhere around 2.5% to 3% versus the prior cycle where we were trying to get to 2%? And I would suggest that's likely given some of the closer to home production that we're going to see. And, you know, in a 2.5-3% inflation environment, that's where value stocks are more interesting. Whereas in the prior cycle with inflation so low, it was all about growth because there was never a catalyst to drive value stocks higher.
At 8:30 this morning, of course, we're going to get the producer price index. When trying to determine pressure on company margins, how important is this reading going to be today?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, anything that we're getting right now on inflation is going to be watched very closely by the market. Now, the last time, we got the producer price index on final demand, the year-over-year percent change had turned lower. Now, we saw that similarly with the headline CPI as well. So we want to see signs. I'll be watching PPI on final demand. We want to see signs that's on a year-over-year percent change coming down. That would be a positive. We expect goods prices to fall in the coming months, and the markets will be looking for clarification on that today.
Stocks and bonds have been hit. So what's the alternative at this point?
Well, investors should not be quick to sell government bonds. Now, of course, you have not seen a very good environment with rates going up as rapidly as they have. But the concern starts to shift over time from an inflation environment to a growth scare. And government bonds in a slowdown, or dare we even say a recessionary environment, should perform well. So I would not be moving away from them. But, you know, investors also want to diversify into other parts of the market, particularly those that could hedge inflation, assuming that if this were to persist, things like commodities, things like real estate investment trusts can do a good job of providing some protection against inflation in a portfolio.
Is it a recession call for you?
I think we're getting closer. You know, the odds of a recession are elevated. If you think about the usual trappings of a recession, you see high and rising inflation, a flat to an inverted yield curve, a strong dollar, consumer sentiment weakening. So we have all of that. Of course, credit spreads have been holding in, which would be the last to go. So I would say that the risks to the cycle are elevated. I wouldn't believe that a recession is imminent, but the risks to the cycle are certainly elevated.
Brian, always a pleasure. Brian Levitt, global market strategist at Invesco, with us this morning. And we're starting to see the futures deteriorate this morning. The Dow futures now up just 21 points. S&P E-mini futures up just 7 points right now. And after yesterday's sell-off, the NASDAQ E-mini futures 55 points higher. That's up about 0.5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund, JCF's donor-advised fund, the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. Helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at ibkr.com/GA. Up first, the S&P 500 finished yesterday's trading more than 20% below its last record close, entering a bear market. Currently, S&P futures are bouncing back a bit. They're up about 10 points right now. Even with the sell-off, Defiance ETF Chief Investment Officer Sylvia Jablonski tells us there is reason for optimism.
We're in the first half of the year. It's not even over yet, although it feels like a decade. And earnings are still looking strong. Consumer is strong. Corporate balance sheets are strong. I know there's a lot of, you know, debate about that, but the numbers and the big, the larger macroeconomic factors are still fairly positive.
Sylvia Jablonski with Chief Defiance ETF says investors could see higher returns this year if inflation and supply chain bottlenecks ease.
And still for traders, it's all about the Fed right now. The central bank begins its two-day policy meeting today, and reports indicate the Fed could raise rates by 75 basis points. Be the highest hike since 1994.
Turning to oil, crude's holding steady around $122 a barrel. Now we're learning the White House plans for President Biden to visit Saudi Arabia next month. S&P Global Vice Chair Dan Yergin says even if the kingdom increases production, it may not have much of an effect on prices.
The markets are very tight, and so even though you would expect that with what's happening to the overall, seems to be happening, the overall economy is slowing, it's not showing up yet in demand for oil.
S&P Vice Chair Dan Yergin spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power weekdays at noon Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And turning to corporate news, let's talk Twitter. Elon Musk is set to address staff of the company directly this week. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, John. Bloomberg sources say this will be the first time Elon Musk addresses Twitter employees since agreeing to buy the company for $44 billion. And Musk will take questions at the Thursday morning virtual meeting. Now, the company has been in a chaotic state since the deal was announced in April. Musk has been critical of the company and questions the amount of spam accounts. Meantime, Twitter CEO has announced a series of cost-cutting measures since the deal came together. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Again, S&P futures are up about 11 points now. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures up 70 points. 10-year Treasury yield 3.29%. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York has expanded legal protections for people seeking and providing abortions in the state. Governor Kathy Hochul signed legislation in anticipation of the U.S. Supreme Court potentially overruling its 1973 Roe v. Wade's decision, which established a constitutional right to abortion.
This is 2022. The right to control our own bodies was supposed to be well-settled precedent by now. Or so we thought.
Governor Hochul says the new laws plan to give abortion providers $35 million to expand services and boost security in anticipation of an influx of out-of-state people seeking abortions in New York. Attorney General Merrick Garland confirmed he watched the committee's hearings closely on the January 6th Capitol riot, even as he faces increased pressure to investigate former President Donald Trump. Garland didn't comment on the current status of a possible investigation against Trump, but
at this point, this investigation is proceeding according to facts and the law.
A.G. Garland, as Trump's top government officials and even his family were dismantling his false claims of 2020 election fraud ahead of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The four GOP candidates running for New York governor debated topics last night, from crime, the economy, and former President Trump. During the debate aired on CBS2, Andrew Giuliani, the son of the former New York mayor, was asked about the hearings.
You know, the media has been fixated on January 6th for the better part of a year and a half now. And I would like to see a congressional hearing on the 274 riots that happened between May of 2020 and January 5th of 2021, rather than just one day where the media is completely focused on.
Giuliani is a former advisor to Trump. Other candidates at the debate included U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, businessman Harry Wilson, and former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. Millionaires are planning to get out of Russia. A new analysis of migration data from Henley and Partners shows about 15% of Russians with more than $1 million in assets are expected to emigrate to other countries by the end of the year. It comes as wealthy citizens are turning their back on Vladimir Putin's regime after the invasion of Ukraine. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Yeah, it's now 6:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Golden State Warriors, of course, led by Steph Curry. That was obvious in Game 4 in Boston when Curry scored 43 points. But last night, Game 5, Curry did not make a single three-pointer. He shot 0-for-9. It ends a streak of 233 games in a row with at least one, dating back to November of 2018. And the Warriors still won. They got 26 points from Andrew Wiggins. They began the fourth quarter with a 10-0 run. They beat the Celtics 104-94. First time in the playoffs, the Celtics have lost two in a row. Warriors lead the NBA Finals 3-2. Game 6 Thursday in Boston. Golden State, chance to win a fourth championship in the last 8 years. If so, we'll see if NBA Commissioner Adam Silver can hand out the trophy. He missed last night's game, COVID protocols. Yankees and Mets both home tonight. Red Hot Yanks host Tampa Bay. Since losing a couple of games to the Rays, the Yanks have gone 11-1. The Mets take on Milwaukee. The Braves won again. They hit five home runs and won 9-5 in Washington, although they lost Ozzy Albies to a broken fit. Atlanta 12-0 in June, and they're now five games behind the Mets. Phil Mickelson met the media in Boston as he gets ready to play the U.S. Open that starts Thursday, and of course asked repeatedly about his decision to play the new LIV Tour. Phil did mention the money.
Incredible financial commitment, but more than that, for all the players involved and everyone involved, but more than that, there are other factors that with fewer tournaments, it allows me to have more balance in my life.
Mickelson said he understands the criticism, including that from fellow players who are sticking with the PGA. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks very much. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. On the broader tech front, just remind everybody that rates matter because with technology especially, you're paying as an investor for future growth. And with the rate trajectory higher, that future growth is going to be worth less. So with that in mind, can we take a look at the broad tech space?
What a novel idea, John Tucker.
We go over this before she comes in.
Yes, 30 seconds ago I said, John Tucker, let's talk about broad tech.
You're giving away all our secrets.
I'm sorry. This is how the sausage is made, as they say. This is important as we talk about the rebound today, which, by the way, is already fading. Futures down 0.4%. They were up significantly more earlier in the session. Remember, it's only 6:38 in the morning. But to your point, a lot of this is going to be the tech story, because remember what performed the worst yesterday? It was, of course, those big tech names, essentially the stocks leading you to those record highs. Those are the same ones that are also going to lead you to some pretty scary lows here. And so today you're seeing a little bit of a rebound, but how much of it is sustainable? Let's go through some of these numbers, some of these movers. Apple, for example, AAPL is your ticker, up 0.7%. We like to look at that as a broad proxy for some of these tech names. And look, yields down about 6 basis points, almost 7 basis points, 3.29 on the 10-year yield. Still nothing to really reverse the, I believe, 19 basis point move we had in the 10-year yesterday. So huge, huge moves. But once again, tech is a little bit higher today. Tesla as well, TSLA up at 1%. But John, it's not the high fancy mega cap tech names I want to talk about. It's Oracle. I know. Okay. Gasp. I said that their Oracle isn't fancy. It is, but it's kind of known as It's known as like the old guard of tech. If you were looking to kind of invest from a business point of view in terms of business investment, what companies are looking to kind of broaden their base? Oracle comes to mind, IBM, Microsoft. Those are the kind of names that you want to keep an eye on. And Oracle actually came out with some pretty strong earnings. ORCL is your ticker. Jefferies coming out and saying the beat was driven by large license upside and strength in the database business. Remember, Oracle is trying to climb and get more market share when it comes to the cloud business, which a lot of companies are still have yet to fully convert to. And right now, those shares up about 13% in the pre-market. I'm going to give you a quick one, the last 15 seconds I have. AMC Entertainment is the other one you want to keep an eye on. We know of this as a meme stock, but today the move is actually coming after they said that last weekend's admission revenues beat that of the same weekend in 2019. I wonder how much of that had to do with Top Gun 2.
Top Gun 2 or Jurassic Park.
Oh, true.
The movie's so bad that I was rooting for the dinosaurs to kill
the people.
Or kill the actors anyway.
Who are you rooting for in Top Gun 2? It better be Tom Cruise.
Don't even get me. You're going to get me in trouble. S&P Futures right now 12 points higher. Radio TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg weather for meteorologist Rod Carolyn. Some morning clouds with a chance of a stray sprinkle or isolated shower. Otherwise, partly sunny today. The highs in the mid-80s.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are bouncing back a bit ahead of the Fed's two-day policy meeting. Let's head right over to the First for Breaking News desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. A modest bounce in the U.S. futures after yesterday's plunge, with Dow futures up 105 points. S&P's gained 20, while NASDAQ futures are up by 96. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.3%. Gold is up 2. Oil is in the red. And Bitcoin is paring losses to 2.6% after dropping 10% last night. Shanghai rose 1% overnight, while European markets are in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the producer price index. After the bell last night, Oracle beat estimates. Shares are up 13% in the pre-market. And in other news, Elon Musk to address Twitter staff for the first time since the deal. Wrapping things up, Best Buy was cut to neutral over at Bank of America. HP Enterprise cut to hold at Deutsche Bank. And Benchmark cut Netflix to sell. Live from the First of Breaking News desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
Okay, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on the terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the battle over the Donbas region will be one of the most brutal in European history. Ukrainian military officials say their troops have been pushed out of a key city in the east and are in desperate need of additional military aid. China has released a long-detained Bloomberg News employee. Hayes Fan has been released on bail after more than a year in detention. She was held on suspicion of national security law violations. The case remains under investigation while Fan is on bail pending trial. In Game 5 of the NBA Finals, the Celtics are on the brink of elimination. Boston lost to the Warriors 104-94. In baseball, the Nationals and Orioles lost. The Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 6:49 on Wall Street. Let's turn now to news in science and technology. The Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, offering New Jersey's first undergraduate degree in fintech. NJIT is future in the making, tech-driven, finance-focused. Learn more at njit.edu/fintech. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Amazon has been quietly buying land across the U.S. to use for new multi-story warehouses. Over the past 3 years, Amazon has tripled the amount of built industrial space it owns in North America, according to company filings. The company is now saddled with excess warehouse space as online shopping has decelerated. China's semiconductor industry is showing signs of flourishing, even as the Biden administration tries to counter its growth. Chinese orders for chip manufacturing equipment from overseas suppliers rose 58% in 2021, making it the biggest market for those products for a second year running. That's according to data provided by industry body Semi. And NASA's Inspector General says poor performance by its primary contractor on a new rocket launch tower has more than doubled its cost. The new mobile launch tower is for a larger version of the Space Launch System rocket. It's now expected to cost about $1.5 billion and take another 2 years to finish. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right. Thanks, Nathan. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we're seeing futures pair some of the earlier gains. Right now, the Dow futures up 106 points. That's a rise of 0.4%. S&P E-mini futures, they're up 20. That's up 0.5%. And the NASDAQ futures right now, they are up 98 points. That's up 0.9%. Also, the VIX, looking to the VIX for elevated volatility with the Wall Street's fear gauge. If we are to see a bottom right now, it is in fact lower, just above 33 points. As far as yields go, the 10-year yield at 3.29. That's down 6 basis points. And time right now, 6:52 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. And time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include a second round of the January 6th hearings. And Donald Trump raised millions of dollars citing fraud that aides told him was false. A high-level U.S.-China talks raised prospects for a Biden-Xi call. And President Biden reportedly visiting Saudi Arabia and is to meet with the Crown Prince. Let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning. We're joined by Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern in Washington. Anne-Marie, thanks for being with us. Let's start with the last story here, the Biden visit to Saudi Arabia. I can't believe he's not going to talk about oil, but that's what we're hearing, right?
Right. So, like, we should make it clear, obviously, energy will be on the table. It has been. That's the administration has been having lots of discussions with Saudi Arabia about energy. You saw the last OPEC deal. Saudi Arabia is the de facto leader of the group, and they made this olive branch, raising production more than the deal would have required. They also were able to keep Russia on board, so they're really walking this diplomatic tightrope for them. But it is true that outside of energy, there are other issues Riyadh and Washington will be discussing and that will culminate in this meeting. Defense, regional security, economic issues, climate, these are a number of factors that are going to go into what would be discussed on this trip. And also, we should note, it's not just with Saudi Arabia. They're the head of the GCC, so that means other GCC countries would also likely be in attendance. You could think of, like, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, so some other allies of the United States.
All right. Next story this morning. Well, of course, the January 6th hearings, they continue. What did we see from the second round?
So the second round was really a lot more detail about what the former President Donald Trump knew and what his closest political and legal advisors were telling him. You have everyone from our former Attorney General Bill Barr to even the President's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, saying in this videotaped testimony they gave to the committee, to the panel, that they were the ones that they told and advised the former president against pursuing that this election claim was stolen. I believe it was Bill Stepien. Yes, it was him. His campaign manager had said, I was on, quote, team normal. That's what he called it, the normal team. And the president, former president, rejected those advances and that advice from those individuals and instead went in the direction of the likes of Rudy Giuliani, which you also heard testimony yesterday that many believed he was drunk when he actually told the president that he should say he won the election, claim fraud, and continue this. So that was what the second hearing was about. That was yesterday. There'll be a third one tomorrow, and there's seven in total. So there's going to be a lot more details on who knew what and when. And what they want to really do in the committee is either directly or indirectly show that that led to what happened we saw in the Capitol on January 6th.
There's also this other story related to it, more than tangential, but that Trump raised millions of dollars from supporters, citing the fraud that aides told him was false. Now, when you solicit money from somebody on a false claim, I mean, that sounds like, I'm not a lawyer, but it could be fraud itself.
Right. So I guess the big question is what comes out after this, right? Will there be more charges against the president in a court of law? But they did talk about that, about raising, I believe the figure was $250 million from supporters in these appeals that the election was stolen from the former president.
What is Merrick Garland saying or not saying in all of this, the current attorney general?
Yeah, I think he's the one that we're going to want to wait to hear from after we get through these seven hearings. You can almost see the committee setting up these witnesses and building out a case, but then what happens with that information?
Okay. Next story. We talked about Saudi Arabia, the visit there. Also, high-level U.S.-China talks. That's raising the prospects for a call between President Xi and President Biden. What do we know on that front?
So there's no readout yet of any talks between Xi and Xi Jinping, but of course there's speculation because you had Jake Sullivan meeting with the top Chinese diplomat, Wang Jisha, Monday in Luxembourg. And there's been a few instances where those two would meet, and then that would open up a door for their principals, for the president and Xi Jinping, to have some sort of phone conversation. But right now, there's nothing yet, but lots of speculation. And probably what would be discussed is similar to what we know that Sullivan discussed with his counterpart, which is, of course, Taiwan, South China Sea, war in Ukraine, as well as North Korea's nuclear program. That's what the Chinese readout was, very similar to what the White House readout said was discussed. But you can imagine that these are the issues that if the two were going to meet. And that kind of sets a path for potentially of that meeting, given you had this high-level meeting between Sullivan and his counterpart.
Anne-Marie, always a pleasure. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern. And, of course, you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, D.C. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures pairing some of the earlier gains. We had European stocks. They were retreating. Right now, the Dow futures 89 points higher. That's up 0.3%. And after the huge sell-off yesterday, S&P futures 17 points higher, up 0.5%. Of course, the S&P 500 entering a bear market after yesterday's close on Wall Street. And NASDAQ futures right now 93 points higher. That is up 0.8%. For Nathan Hager, I'm John Tucker. Stay with us just ahead. Bloomberg Surveillance. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.